Praise the Lord. Welcome, everyone. I want to get started because it's going to take me almost the whole time to get through this with you, but you're going to be glad. We're going to do this tonight and then Sunday again. I'm going to talk about the door to creativity, the door to creative miracles. And so it's the same door. Creative miracles, it's going to be the same door. It's the same door to be successful. If you're going to be successful, you're going to need to know what I'm going to teach you tonight. And so I want to read the scripture to you. This is John 8:32. It says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Okay? Now, the truth doesn't make you free. Knowing the truth makes you free. And then what I want to do is take this a step further and show you something. Because this is not just some knowledge you have. The word "know" here means to be absolute. So it's not like, well, I got some knowledge, so now I'll be okay. You with me? Now walk with me through this because you're really going to enjoy it. So it means you perceive the truth. In other words, you went, oh, yeah, I got that. Okay, so what I want to talk to you about is the power of your imagination. Okay? So, and I want to spend 2 days on it because I want to talk to you on a couple of levels about this. But right now, I just want to teach you how to position yourself to experience revelation and transformation. So it's going to take getting some pictures on this. It's one thing to know that the Holy Spirit frees us from the flesh, but it's quite a different thing to know how he does it and in our lives, and how we can actually position ourselves. Listen to me. Remember we started using these words, position for power. Mm-hmm. So you literally position yourself to get to some places in the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So, it's one thing to desire creative miracles, or to know that they exist, but how do they happen? And what are we doing when they happen? You know, knowledge just says, well, God does them. That's good. It's true. But then what's our part and how's this working? Well, one thing that we can say is that our part is to be creative as well. That we're creative, not just God's creative, but we're creative. So you need to use your imagination then to do that. See, Christians mistakenly assume that information automatically translates into transformation. That is not true. See, we tend to have this thinking that if we just read another book, if we just get involved with another Bible study, or a group, we're going to change. That'll cause us to change. We'll join this group because it'll cause us to change. Or we'll do this, or we'll read this, and we'll get some self-helps and this and that. But that's not really true. That's not really the case at all. So I think we can look around at the world of Christianity and really see that that's not the case. Yeah, people prop themselves up a little bit, put a Band-Aid on something sometimes. But if we're really going to get there, if we're really going after this, we need to get to the bottom of it all. And so, we try to apply information and think that it's going to transform us. You see that? Once again, church, God is not a mind. He's a spirit. So you can put all the information you want to. Information's good. I'm not knocking it. I'm just telling you that's not the way you're going to get where you're going. Okay, so shooting at behaviors to motivate change is not biblical are effective. Wow. Just taking a shot at them. It's kind of like just treating symptoms. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. So what's the problem? Well, there's several factors, but as odd as this may sound, one of the biggest problems in the Western Christians is they've forgotten how to use their imagination. In spiritual matters, they don't want to do that. And for a number of reasons. If you've been years old as I am and you've been brought up like me, we've seen through the years how Christians have cut certain things out because, you know, that's too much like the enemy. Am I right? So one is we've come to equate the imagination with fantasy and make believe. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just Tinkerbell and the trolls or, you know, whoever. Yeah. So we've come to mistrust it, especially in spiritual matters. Well, you don't use your imagination for that. That's for cartoons. No. And we've come to identify imagination as something that takes us away from the truth rather than something that can be useful and necessary with the truth. Come on. Amen. And so, how central is the imagination to all of our thoughts? That's the question. Well, listen. We don't think with abstract information, okay? We think by imaginatively, that's a long word, replicating reality in our minds. I'm going to say that to you one more time. We don't think by imaginatively replicating, or we don't think by abstract information. Let me just back up. I want to make sure you get this right. Mom, I'm trying to say this word and it's hard on my tongue here. So we don't think with abstract information. Okay. We take our imagination and we replicate reality in our minds. Can y'all get a hold of that? You're going to have to come up here with me. You're going to catch it real easy in just a minute when I use some examples. But imagination is simply the mind's ability to evoke images of things that aren't physically present. So here's an easy way to do it. When I think about my grandson, Carter, I don't mentally recite information I have about him. I use my imagination to represent, to, listen to me, represent him.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? Now, notice that word, represent. It means to present again. So when I have a thought about my grandson, I make him present to myself in the mind. And this requires image making capacity. That's what imagination is. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now get this. The representations, okay? You're representing something. When you're representing something, you're representing something, okay? So that constitute our thoughts affect us to the extent that they are concrete and vivid. Mm-hmm. The imagination, church, is concrete. They represent our actual experience of what we're thinking about. Mm-hmm. Now, if I see him in my imagination, if I see Carter in my imagination, and I see him doing something awesome, like he just learned to ski this year, so I'm seeing him skiing, it evokes an emotion.
Yeah.
But if I just give you information,
yeah.
I'll give you some information. Carter is 13. He lives in San Marcos. That doesn't affect me at all, and that doesn't affect you at all. It doesn't really give you an image. I can give you information without giving you my representation of him. My little blue-eyed, blonde-headed boy can ski, and he's one of those kids that reads over a million words a semester or year or whatever it is, you know, all the, I mean, he's up there. He's very academic. He's real, and you start getting a different picture of Carter. He loves his dogs. Now you just got a picture. Bella plays outside. You know, he learned to ski, so now you saw him on the, see, but when I gave you pictures, then you got a representation, and you yourself had to make an image.
That's it. That's true.
Little, white, curly dog. You just got an image. Now try this one, my dog. Just helping you think through this now.
Yeah.
Our minds process up to 3,000 pieces of information per second.
I believe that. Wow.
And we're only conscious of about 7 of them. We're only thinking, we're just all the way, all the time. It's processing all the time. And when I give you information about my grandson, I'm not giving you the actual representation that I'm experiencing in my mind. Because I already have all this stuff. I'm taking relevant features of my actual representation, sharing them with you in the form of abstract information. That's not all we're looking for in life. We are going to a wedding. We are going out 281 and turning left at the Pottery Ranch. You have that much information, but when you get there, there's going to be a whole lot more colorful things to it because people have put their imagination to it. Going to be great. Now, see, you're only going to be affected by the degree that you use it to form your own concrete representation about my grandson. Now, some of you know him, so you'll get some kind of image, but some of you don't even have a picture of him, so you'll just have to kind of create one. Okay, he's got blonde hair. You know, but then some of you know him. But if I say Gabe, you have more of an imagination because you've experienced Gabe.
Right.
Okay. Keep going with me. So this is what we need to see. The crucial difference between information and representations is that information is abstract. It's intangible is what I'm trying to tell you. It's not tangible to you, but our imagination is concrete. Some of the thoughts, some of the knowledge that you get, it's not gonna develop too much past just being in that mind zone. But imagination will lock into a memory. You'll get there. You'll get there in just a second. So, memories can be so influential in a person's life. We don't experience memories as information because they're concrete. So they're vivid representations of past events. So people that experience horrible things in their past, sometimes they'll have those things over and over. Can I give you an example? Veterans.
Yeah.
They have to live with certain things. People that have been abused. Until Jesus, they receive healing from Jesus. They'll live things over and over. Okay. And then there's those good things that happened in your life. that you'll live over and over because you loved them and you remember what God did, and you remember when your honey called you and sang you a song or something, and you remember that. See, look at Jessie. She has a vivid, concrete thought about that. Lori and
Randy
were standing on the corner downtown kissing today. We saw them.
It was so sweet.
It's a precious memory. So sweet. Deb said, look at them. It was so sweet. Deb would just says, I can't even interrupt it. It's just too sweet. But see, they get a vivid memory, and then let me tell you, it'll shape your life. And so this memory, or this representation, has an encoded message in it. Come on, it has an encoded message in it. However, the event could have made them feel worthless or wonderful, depending on what it was. You'll have that same feeling when you have that imagination again. Are you with me? Every time they experience that, and let me tell you what we call it, a trigger. It's a trigger. See, you have certain things will come up to you and it will trigger you. All right? Trying to go slow, make sure you're thinking about it here. Can you think of a trigger in your life? And I'm not talking about Roy Rogers' horse. I had a trigger for years, and I don't mind telling you what it was. Every time I would go into the nursing home and I would smell food cooking with that other smell that tends to be in that place, subconsciously, not even realizing I'm doing this, I start fighting feeling sick. Like I want to throw up. Well, Deb's with me. She's walking along. She's happy, shaking hands, talking with everybody all the way down the room. You know, everything's good. And I'm going, you know, and I'm like, well, I had an incident when I was in first grade. And I ate with some children who, there was always this cleaning smell in our cafeteria. And I ate with children who were blind, and they couldn't see what they were doing, and it got nasty, and I couldn't help. I was in first grade, and I just couldn't handle it. Plus, I was in severe shock from leaving my mother. You know, and so over the years, not realizing it, I had a trigger. There's a lady, smart lady, brilliant lady, well-to-do lady, but afraid of spiders. They did research on her to try to figure out why she was afraid of spiders. Well, her brothers, when she was 4 years old, got a bunch of spiders and set them right here on her while she was asleep, and she woke up to spiders. So when she sees a spider, as wonderful as everything is, she triggers. A spider freaks her out. Two doors down from me when I was a little kid, a bat flew into my little neighbor girl's hair. And they had to shave her head, and she had to get shots because it was rabbit. Okay? You are going, oh, my God. Well, see, I hate bats to this day. And Deb makes fun of me about it because we were in the Caribbean one time on this island. It's called Culebra. And the bats are like that big. To me, they were like that big. You know? But a big old bat flies out from under this bridge. We were down there. It's the coolest island. But the bat wasn't cool. But I'm still doing like this. That's a trigger. That's a trigger. But don't feel sorry for me. You have as many triggers as I do. You see where I'm going? There's also good triggers.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of good triggers that you have in your life. Amen. So now remember what happened Sunday? We prayed for phobias. Phobias operate on the same principle. You get triggered at certain places and you want to freak out. That's exactly what that is. So you have this powerful brain. You have a good image making capacity and it works so well that it'll trigger. Despite all the information that this won't harm you, nothing's going to happen to you, the trigger could still go off. Are you with me? You're not. What about the people that can't stand? I've never been in one, but I think you go in to get an MRI or something in that tunnel. Is that what it's called? And they have to give people sedatives because they freak out and stuff. But nothing's going to happen to you. You're just laying there, but trigger. I don't like the tight spot. Some people can't stand crowds. It's a trigger. I just helped somebody right there. All right. So listen to this. People who are optimistic tend to imagine their future in a concrete, vivid, positive way. So they're going to go along and tomorrow's already going to be good. That's how they think. On the other hand, a worrier tends to imagine the future, same vividness, but their future is going to be negative because, well, whatever can go wrong will go wrong. You know, there's people, what can happen to, there's bound to be trouble tomorrow. I need some more drama. I don't, thank you. But you see what I'm saying? Wherever your imagination has you geared to where you're going. If you imagine you're a loser, I got news for you, honey. You're a loser. Now, God doesn't say you're a loser, but you're going to have losing behavior. If you think you're going to lose, you're going to lose. As a man thinketh, so is he. But it's all about this imagination. So, see, not only is it your experiences, but it could be something you view. Now, think about advertisement. Things that you've watched. Some people have nightmares over movies they've seen.
Yeah.
Right? And then commercials. Have you ever noticed that commercials give you very little information about the product? It's very little information about the product. What they do instead is present vivid images to which their target audience will be attracted to. If you drink this drink, you're going to be more sexy. Now, that's stupid. Yeah, people are drinking that drink. You know, some of the pharmaceutical things are telling you. The husband and the wife are riding on the bicycle built for two, going down the beach and their hair's blowing, and the background guy saying, this pill could cause suicide. But everybody's looking at it, oh, they're free now. You know?
Yeah.
It's the images.
Yes.
It's the images. And, you know, I mean, remember in the movies, don't talk in the movies, and no cell phones in the show. Remember that? Remember that? Yeah, and then the popcorn's dancing and the Coke, and then you're like, I'll be right back. I'll go get some popcorn. Suddenly you were hungry. It's images.
Yeah.
Church, imagination is so important, but we need to not use it in the negative way. We need to use it for spiritual things. See, they're just trying to install triggers in your brain. They want you to put that image in there. Well, this works. Well, if we drink this, we'll look cool. That's really kind of dumb, isn't it? They try to put a hero on a beer commercial. You know, I mean, well, anyway. So I think it's clear that we live from the world of our imagination. We interpret our world mostly by the aspects of our world trigger imaginative Representations that encode messages, create feelings, and thus motivate behavior. It's going to come up. You're going to see it. You're going to take it. And you're going to act like it. It's going to trigger your life. This is what we do. Oh, this is what we, this is it. This is it. Or this is how it's always been for me. This is how it's always been now. God gave us this remarkable image-making capacity so that we could interact with Him. It's to interact with Him. And when our imaginations represent truth to us, then we respond to the way things really are in God. And then it evokes this appropriate feeling, which motivates us, and then we behave in effective ways and not negative ways. Isn't that good? That's just so true. So that we can actually build imagination that will trigger good results. I'm trying to stay close to my notes because I felt like when I wrote them, they were really important. So our imagination is our greatest ally. We work with it with the word. We work with it. And I'm going to show you a couple other things too. But what I'm trying to tell you here is I want you to, if you can get imagination, you're going to get this concrete, vivid imagination that you're a son of God and not an orphan. Start seeing who you really are. So that when I love what Patty said to me, we were talking earlier and there's been some attacks, and different people are praying about things. And she says, you know, some folks they're not real quick on the draw. And I thought, that'll preach. They're not quick on the draw to go ahead and say no. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They're too slow. They'll automatically start, escalating. It's not working. It's not working. Nothing's working. Nothing. Why? Because in most of their thoughts, their triggers are short fused into the negative. They're so used to drama that every trigger is going to be a drama thing. It's not going to work for them. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. But if you start having that imagination of, no. I'm a son of God. I'm wearing the blessing. I'm protected by God. I'm blessed by God. I'm a tither. I have tither's rights. This is who I am. And you're not getting in. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. This will work. You will work in the name of Jesus. And you start having that kind of response. You start having those kind of triggers, they'll start popping up. And you're getting there. We're getting there. I can see sometimes we have a guest speaker and they'll say something and I can tell every one of you are all like, that ain't right. They look at me, y'all look at me like, are you going to say something? God is good. Yes, it will work.
Amen.
Well, that's a good trigger. Praise the Lord. So God intended good, but we have this enemy and he intends evil. So we've undergone some experiences that God never intended for us to suffer through in this fallen world, but we fell for it because of these triggers and because of concrete, vivid imaginations that we need to dump and move something else in there. It doesn't work for me. Well, you need to dump that. It does work for you. They're harmful. So God wants us to use our imagination to transform into healthy, godly direction, filled with truth, things that are filled with truth. So let me just say this to you. When our representations are vivid, but they do not correspond with truth, there's that, or when our representations correspond with truth, but they're not vivid. Come on. We have difficulty being transformed in a healthy, godly way. So it's two ways. Either you're getting the truth, but it's not stamping down in your spirit. It's not, you're not imagining it and it becoming real to you, or it's, you've got the wrong one. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
So all the lies about us and about God, they get encoded in our minds. You know, all the people who say, who talk about us, you know, the prosperity church, that's not in the Bible. Well, it's all in the Bible. Well, women preach, women aren't supposed to talk in church. Well, I just finished reading about Philip's daughters who were all prophetesses. How are you going to prophesy if you can't talk? So we know the Bible didn't mean that. But please understand, you don't have to get mad at people that believe that. That's a vivid, concrete thing that they've lodged in their thinking. It's wrong, but they lodged it in there,
yeah.
Which has made many a good woman not answer her call.
Right.
And the many a good Christian that did not receive their prosperity,
oh, wow,
or their healing, because healing passed away.
Yeah.
Healing didn't pass away. And those are real easy examples, but you know, you could probably think yourself that there's some trigger in your life that made you miss something.
Yeah.
A lot of people, when they're falling in love or they're beginning to have a good relationship with a friend and they're getting close to someone, they'll sabotage it before that because they are totally believe that that person's going to end up rejecting them. So they'll do something to mess it up first. Yeah?
Yeah.
Y'all awake?
Oh, yeah.
Some of y'all look like you're on jury duty. This is good news right here. So if the lies were just pieces of information, they wouldn't affect us so profoundly. But they're anchored in this vast matrix that we have here of experiences that we've imagined, and they replicate whenever stimuli or environmental things bring them up and you trigger. Oh, I remember that. I'm not going there. I can't tell you the people I've heard, yeah, my grandmother drug me to the Pentecostal church when I was a kid. I'm never going back there again. Because they had an image of, they were pretty, what they saw was emotional. Now, some of them were emotional, but some of them were really praising God. But in their minds, it was scary and chaos. We could go through a whole list of things. This is what I'm getting at. We need a vivid imagination with our faith.
Yeah.
We need to use our imagination with our faith. And if you keep representing yourself with your old self, as your old self, you're doing harm because you're a child of God. You're accepted in the beloved. God finds no fault in you. That's all been wiped away. So if you just think, well, I'm just a bad sinner. No, you're not. And the preacher that talked you into being an old sinner saved by grace lied to you, and you need to get that out of there. You're not an old sinner saved by grace. You are saved by grace, but you're not an old sinner.
Yep.
That needs to be fleshed out. Because you'll always get in condemnation. You'll always fall short because you'll never think you're good enough. Can I tell you, Jesus made you good enough.
Yeah.
It's all about Him. He gets the glory, but He's the one that made us good enough. Lock that into your imagination.
Yeah.
When the religious people come after you, use your imagination. It's a hot, sandy, windy day. They just drug you up before the Messiah and said, we're going to stone this person because they're guilty of sin. and just see Messiah squat down and write. You put, lock that in your imagination. Watch all of your accusers. Get an imagination that all your accusers have to walk away and drop their stones. Put that in your thinking. Yeah, including yourself. Throw your own stone down. See, we know we're Christians intellectually. Oh yes, I'm a Christian. I know I am because I believe in Jesus. That's good. That's good. But many experience and represent deception more in their imaginations. They're seeing the deception more than they're seeing the truth about themselves. And hey, we've gotten it on us. We've had a lot of practice. Yeah. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help myself.
That's good.
Old self seems more real to some folks. Hey, I'm a Christian, but you know, I've been bad. If I go over to the church, the roof will probably fall in. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the silly things that people believe, that imagination just did that to people. The point is, if our faith is going to be powerful and transformative, it's going to have to be imaginative and experiential. We have to get a hold of something. I'm about to tell you some things that just lock this in for you. So it's not knowing a lot, but grasping. It's not knowing everything, but it's grasping things intimately and savoring them. And that's what's going to satisfy your soul. When you think about this, and you may shiver the first time you ever say this. Jesus, God loves me as much as he loves Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Get comfortable with that. God loves me. I'm his favorite daughter. Rules and regulations change for me. If I have favor on my life, then it can't be stopped by any person or their ideas or their plans. And that's the imagination I have. I'm going through. You have to grasp who you are. So memories shape us profoundly because we grasp them and we savor them. They're not information.
Yeah, that's good.
Uh-huh. They're not, you know, think of one of your fondest memories right now. Did you see something or did you see words?
No,
you saw something.
Yeah.
I got on a ferry. In St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. My best friend was with me. We're standing up on the ferry. The boat is headed toward the island of St. John. All of a sudden, we get right over the arc there. The water's beautiful blue. Can you see it? And what I'm saying? Got right over there. And all of a sudden, we see the town there. There's the Cruz Bay.
Yes.
And we see the town for the first time. And at the same time, we both went, oh, it's so cute. It's so charming. It's so beautiful. This white beach everywhere that looked like sugar. And we're about to put our feet down on it. And now you just got the image right there. And that image has never left me. It's one of my favorite memories because I love the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I can remember waking up, you know, Cozumel is right on the equator. And so, it's 5 o'clock. The sun's already shining bright. I remember waking up at 5 o'clock and walking out on the balcony and you could hear the little men out there with their tools and their homemade scaffolding and they're out there working. I could smell Mexico in the air, you know, just amazing. And I look at it. There's that blue water out there. That's a memory lodged in me. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
I was like, that's so good. I remember exactly where I was standing in the hospital and Deb's standing next to me and my ex-husband's standing here and my wife-in-law is standing over here. Wife-in-law. And here they bring out this baby. And it's my baby. It's my Carter. I'll never forget that moment. To this day, when we drive by the Holiday Inn where we stayed when he was born, every time I say, that's where we stayed when Carter was born. That's where we stayed when Carter was born. I just have a memory of seeing my baby. And everybody was crying. All the grandparents were standing there. But that's a memory that's never going to leave me. You have those same things. That Holiday Inn triggers me to think about when he was born. And many of you don't know this, but he's a miracle. Because those were two people that couldn't have a baby. But they have one.
Yes, they do.
Amen. You have those imaginations?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't have those. Well, it's time.
Yeah.
See, we've been delivered from phobias because we're going to throw away those vivid things. He's going to restore you from all old representations that keep you limited. He's going to get us all corporately to the place where we see creative miracles every day. See, maybe it's so lodged in your mind, you've been to church for so long that you don't even think a miracle could happen. But they do happen. So think back at those moments. I can remember standing in what used to be called, some of you will remember, Palmer Auditorium. Remember Palmer Auditorium?
Yeah, yeah.
The Happy Hunters came.
Yep.
Remember them?
Yes.
What's their first name? What's their first name, Rachel?
Charles and Francis.
Okay, so they're ministering. And then they say, now everybody get ready. We're going to pray for people. So we all started praying for people. And there was a man who was blind. He was my first one that I saw his eyes open. I'm never going to forget that.
Yeah. Nope.
Never going to forget what happened in that moment. And then there's those inspirational moments that you need to remember. They're in this vivid, concrete place. What inspired you in your life? I told you this the other day. My sister-in-law talked about travel. I was a travel agent before I was a preacher because I love travel so much. Pastor John circling my name saying I could become a pastor. I've been a pastor, just a senior pastor for 20 years. Before that, I was already a pastor with him. What are those inspirational things that became so concrete, so vivid? Pastor John was a little kid and he's playing his guitar. Mm. And he's at a fiddling contest.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, John, come on over here now and play with us. And he's like, oh. So he starts playing with them, and at the end of the what do they call it? Set. Mm-hmm. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Okay. At the end of the set, the fiddler looks at John and says, boy, a perfect rhythm. John Holler produced more worship people, musicians, than anyone I've ever known in my life. Am I right? And that's how I know Doyle Dykes.
Yeah.
He even knows people like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those concrete moments. Are you thinking about them?
Yeah.
You don't get that from information.
Yeah.
You don't get it from information. I'm going to close with this. We're going to pick this up Sunday so we're going to get more into this. I want to talk to you about how to actually deal with the creativity part. But why is it then that some people can worship and they really get into it? And maybe you're standing there going, I just wish we'd hurry up and get through with this. I just want to hear the word. What makes the difference? And I would ask you this. Why can some people just pray and get so into it, and other people are like, are they ever going to get finished? Why? Imagination. Why some people read the word and they can read, they're into it. And others are like, I need to get through these verses. Imagination. Are you getting into it? What do you see when you're worshiping? Are you looking at the words up there? God is good. Da, 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 da. Are you taking in all my life? You know what I see every time you sing that line? When you sing, all my life you have been faithful. I can remember sitting right here where Sis is about. And I was 6-7 years old in the Baptist church. That way back then, I was like, oh, Jesus. I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. All my life, he's been faithful. And all, everything it took, he did to take me through to get me to where I am today. That he's always been good. He's always found a way to go. But I had that vivid imagination. And we were singing, just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. Remember that? Remember those little things that happened like that? That's just God bringing us through. But you have to use your imagination. Now try this on. Need healing? There you are. You just walked up in the town. You're right there in Capernaum, right there on the side. Oh, there's the ruler of the synagogue out here. He stepped out. He stepped out of what he's doing. What's he doing out here? Here comes the person they're calling Messiah. I know he's Messiah. What's the ruler of the synagogue doing here? That's Jairus. Man, he's going to be seen with Jesus. But here he comes. Why isn't he at home? They say his daughter's about to die. And I'm standing there and I'm looking. And here comes Jairus and he gets to Jesus and he says, Master, please come. My daughter's just about to die and I'm watching it. And Jesus says, okay, I'll come. But lo and behold, here comes that woman with the issue of blood. She's crawling. She's going to grab the hem of his garment. Are you there in the scene? Can he get in the scene? She's going to grab, and so she's going to go up and grab his prayer cloth. And she's saying, man, if I could just grab that prayer cloth, I know I'm going to be healed because I heard about him. I believe he's the Messiah. I believe this is going to happen. I'm going to be healed today. I'm going to be healed today. And dust is flying. And she's thinking, if I get caught, I'm not supposed to be in public. Can't be in bleeding and be in public with Jewish people. But did you just get in the scene better than there was the ruler of the synagogue? And there they came and Jesus did this. And put yourself in the picture. Get a vivid imagination. Get it concrete. See the dust blowing. See that those guys that were running around. The Chosen is so good for you to watch. Because those boys were stinkers. It was all about them, man. And that's exactly how it was. And Jesus laughed all the way. I'm certain that that's how it was. Nobody was walking around going, I'm sure Jesus was just cracking up over some of the stuff they did. Like, calm down. Y'all two quit fighting, you know. Sons of thunder. So we get real with your imagination. Get real with the scripture. What really went on? See Peter walking on that water? And you're standing in the boat and it's rocking. And he's going out there and you're going, go, Peter, go, go. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Or maybe you're the one that Jairus is headed to. Oh, no, I can't be Jesus. No, I'm talking about you being one carrying the anointing. Yeah, you're carrying the anointing. And people are coming and saying, I need to create a miracle. Jesus will do it through you. Imagine that. Imagine that. Now, we're not saying we're Jesus. We're not taking his place. But we are joint heirs. But can you use your can you see that happening? Can you see saying, today, giant, today, I have a covenant, you don't. Bonk. Can you see it? Are you going to be like the other guys? We're hiding. He's been taunting us for, what was it, 40, 50 days, something like that? Then the kid comes out there and says, well, what do I get if I do that? Make it real. He wasn't coming up going, here I am, I got anointed, and so I will whirl this. He'd been out, he's stinking like sheep. He brought them some cheese tacos. And this is all happening, and he's like, is there a prize for this? I want it. Oh, no taxes and the king's daughter? I'll give it a shot. Come on. You're like, oh, you're just being dishonorable. No, I'm not. That's probably in his thinking. Now, I don't know that it exactly happened like that, but if we make it real, if we get vivid with these things, if we put ourselves in the picture, if you'll say to the mountain, stand there with Jesus and look at that dead fig tree, Lord. And then he says, hey, Jesse, did you know you can do that? And you're like, okay, tell me how. And then he says, if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt. But you believe you receive what you said, it'll come to pass. You'll have what you... And you hear Jesus saying that. And you lock into that, and it gets vivid to you. It gets real. It gets concrete. All right, I think I'm going to hold off on everything else, but people can pray good when they use their imagination.
Yeah.
In the name of Jesus, I'm going to get this across to you as I close here. When we pray, it's a little easier for us because 90% of us are quite prophetic. We see things. There's a spirit of seeing and knowing. So we see it and say it. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed with the girls, and particularly these two, and Danny and Amanda and Art as well, some of the guys, and they'll say, I saw da 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 da, and they say it, and it becomes a prayer. Yeah. We see things when we're praying.
Yeah.
Rachel does that all the time. You see it. You're getting in there. And I'm always telling you about imagine heaven. Don't imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there is a heaven.
Exactly.
It's easy if you try.
That's right.
There is a hell below us.
Yeah.
Heaven is real. And it's a realm that is so close.
Yeah.
And you don't need to strain with knowledge about that.
No.
Just allow, okay, I'm going to say it. I'm just going to save this for Sunday, but I can't wait. Partner with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's how you're creative. You partner with the Holy Spirit. You have to partner with Him, and then He'll lead you. There's been times I'll just go, you know, you put on some good soca music or something, some good worship music, and you're laying down and you're just imagining, and I see myself and I'm like, okay, I'm on my beach, because y'all can already figure out that's what I like. And so I'm on my beach and there's the pretty water and there's colored, what do they call flippers? Dolphins. And they're jumping out there and they're different colors and they're real pretty. And my horse runs up the beach. His name is Horse because the Lord hasn't told me what his name is yet. So I call him Horse. But in a minute, while I'm imagining heaven, heaven connects with me. Now this is not something funky that I'm making up. Because heaven will join your confession, and heaven will join your thinking. That's why the enemy wants to keep you sick in your thinking. He wants to keep you tied down in your thinking. The Lord wants you to see making that deal. Making that deal. Having what He's called you to go after. Being well. Having... living the life that God called you to. The enemy's always going to try to put a blockade up, and most of the time it's going to be with a trigger from the past. We're going somewhere, aren't we? So you can use your imagination, and I'm just telling you, and if this is too big for you, then just put it aside, but you can imagine heaven, and in a minute, you have just come up into a glorious place in your spirit, and you can sense things that are really true about heaven. And then, do we have visions? Do we have dreams? I've had a vision of what has gone on with heaven. One of the first visions I had, I came walking up that beach and walking up that road. I saw my house. I know exactly what it looks like. And it came to me, I wasn't making it up. And believe me, I can build some good ones just in my own thinking. But I saw that thing. And all of a sudden, a little red poodle ran out in front of me and whipped his tail around, and that's Max, my first dog. And I wasn't going there in my thinking. I've had my brother walk up to me in that. I'm not apologizing for this.
No.
This has happened to me.
Yeah.
God came in with my thinking.
Yes, he did.
Well, he can come right in here with my thinking about the glory.
Yes.
And he can come right in here with my thinking about being prosperous. And he can come right in here with my thinking about being whole. He can come right in here and we can imagine situations solved.
Yes.
And they'll turn around. Why don't we use our imagination for America?
Yes.
Why don't we change that? Well, I don't know. We're going to hell in a handbasket. Why don't we change that to God? This is America where God reigns, where the Messiah reigns, where Jesus. Why don't we start using our imagination for things like that?
Yes.
Why don't we use our imagination for whatever it is we're going to do next? I think about Randy often, about how he would drive by here and say, the Lord had need of you. And he talked to this building. It's time to find the land and talk to it.
Yes.
We're out of parking lot on Sundays. The youth need a bigger place to meet. It's time for us to find that place. And so why don't we use our imagination? I go, I don't know if we're ever going to find it. Like, well, what are we going to do when we get it? We're talking about multi-millions. Dig the hole. Get a shovel.
Yeah.
Drive by and say, the Lord have need of you. That's ours.
Yeah. Yes.
Imagine sitting at closing, signing the papers on your house.
Yeah.
Imagine working through the paperwork on your new LLC. Whatever it is, use your imagination. See yourself. You know what Deb, one of Deb's imagination, she sees herself writing big checks to ministries.
Yeah.
She uses her imagination. We're going to write big checks to ministries. We're going to write big checks to help people. And you should see all the checks this church writes out to other ministries already. They're not huge, but they're going that way. Because it ain't just about us. Y'all received this tonight? Use your imagination. Well, you know, there's just this person and they just hate me. Well, just start using your imagination. They love me.
Amen.
The next time they see me, they're just going to melt. They're just going to love me. Well, why don't we just do that?
Amen.
Well, such and such is broken. Well, imagine it being fixed. Lay down on your couch and instead of crying about something. And I want to mention this one more time and we'll close. You got your six shooters on, your faith six shooters on. Learn to be fast on the draw and say, no, devil.
That's right. Okay. That's
right. No, devil. You're not coming in here.
Yeah.
This is my property.
Yeah.
This is my body.
Mm.
This is my mind.
Yeah.
It's not your mind. It's my mind.
Yeah.
Beat that rat, as Nancy would say.
Rider.
Y'all know the story. Praise the Lord. All right. We can worship because we can get into worship. We can read the Bible because we can get into the stories. We can pray because we get in the Spirit. But we can't just do that with information. We have to do it with revelation. We have to do it with our imagination. If people just speak information instead of seeing it in their imagination, it isn't going to be near as good. See yourself doing it. Amen. Church, this last thing. Information will not get you transformation. Information won't do it. You need concrete, vivid pictures of who you are, who God is, and you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work with you on your imagination. Father, we thank you that we have vivid imaginations and we don't use them for trash.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord, that we use them for good. We thank you, Lord, that we can see what you see. We thank you, Lord, that by the Spirit we can imagine. Those people built that Tower of Babel in the flesh. That was just humanism. And you stopped that thing. So we can take imagination and use it for good, like Jacob did. He used imagination for good with those ring-straight animals.
Yeah.
And he multiplied. We can use our imagination for the right thing. And so, Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus right now, Holy Spirit, touch us right now. In Jesus' name, I declare we're cleared out of all the negative triggers in Jesus' name, wiped out, ready to walk into the goodness of God, imagining good. I declare we have goodness triggers. Goodness triggers in the name of Jesus. And if you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.